Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
One of the things that's most attractive, the most attractive thing to women ever is your truthfulness.
Yeah.
Even when they don't like the truthfulness. I mean, you know, we talk about every once in a while, Kevin Samuels, rest his soul.
Our Lord and Savior, Kevin Samuels. No name above that name.
Here's a dude who they knew how he was going to respond. If you're 40 right. years old and you 190 pounds, you know what his response is going to be. But yeah. they would call up anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
I know.
Yo, what's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we have comedian and my boy Dean Edwards. We're here to discuss arguing about the small things. What's the man's biggest fear? The genius of Kevin Samuels. And also, I go over the first step of the five bricks. So, kind of explain why it works and what it does do. So, let's get it.
Yeah, that's right, guys. Thank you for supporting the show. And if you love the show and want to help support it, join us over at Patreon. Patreon.com/manschool202. That's where you can get some of the bonus coverage we do. Like this week, we continue our conversation with Dean Edwards, and we answer listener mail as we talk about why you should never lie and how to be better at communicating your value. So you join us over there to help out the show. Plus, we also do relationship consultations. So if you want a consultation from me, you can email me at advicefromharry@gmail.com. And if you want a consultation from Dante, how do they reach you, Dante?
DanteNero.com. Click consult.
Beautiful. Enjoy the show.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't. Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? GYBB gets your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. This is a special show. Now, I might have said that 600 times before, but including the last time this brother was on. But first and foremost, my partner in crime, what's going on, Harry? What's popping? How you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal, Dante. I'm living each day like it's my last, but then there's another day after that.
That's crazy.
So I'm getting
That's
bonus
crazy.
Time.
That's crazy. So you won yesterday.
I won yesterday.
And now you're winning again.
And I'm winning again today.
Crazy.
Nothing but keep winning.
Why are you talking? You're both talking like Jackie Mason.
Yeah, Jackie Mason. Nothing but keep winning. I win one day, then I win the next.
Let's get into it, man. I got my boy in the building. He's been on the show before.
Yep.
Love this dude to death. Funniest motherfucking whatever. Netflix. They ready? Is it they ready?
Yes, they ready.
They ready. Tiffany Haddish, this thing on Netflix. Check that out. One of the most consummate professionals and impressionists and stand-up comedians that I've ever met in my life.
Thank you, sir.
Saturday Night Live.
Thank you, sir. Thank
things.
You.
Met him when he had a huge afro. Huge afro.
Right. Now it's more. It's tamer now.
It's tamer, but I remember it was huge.
Yes.
huge afro and a big smile. give up for my boy Dean Edwards.
Bong bong. What up, fellas? What up, Harry? What up, Dante?
Hey,
good to see y'all, man.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be back, baby. I think the last time we did this was pre-pandemic.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's been pandemic. That long.
Yeah, man. It's been.
You know
been
what's
some
funny
time.
Is I'm trying to act like we haven't seen it. I just saw Dean 7 minutes ago. we were in DC.
But hold up. Here's the funny part, right? So we were doing this gig together, and they asked which way. I never fly to DC. I always like Hugh Moore, my man. Shout out to Hugh Moore. Hugh's always like, "Yo, why you don't fly?" I said, "Cause
by the time the show,
yeah. And peeps. So The reason I don't is because I figure by the time it takes me, say, an hour to get to JFK or LaGuardia, and I want to get there at least an hour early, maybe a little bit earlier than that, and then it's about an hour flight. That's 3 hours. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather just drive the 4 hours, and that way I can just get up and go whenever I want while I'm in D.C. So that's why anything that's 4 hours or less, I'm usually just going to drive to. But
I say to you, you are absolutely wrong. You are absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
So, and I'll tell you what, I get the point.
Uh-huh.
But I got up. It was 15 minutes to the airport.
Uh-huh.
I had to clear check. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. The pre
yeah, yeah.
check, whatever.
Right.
So I literally walked in. I go in and tell them I'm a cripple.
You get a wheelchair?
I get a wheelchair. Right? I get a wheelchair. But to be honest, my back is fucked up. So what happened was even though that this happened to me, this was still pretty so I got through security, bong bong.
Mm-hmm.
So they, because you do the retinal scan, bong, they walk you through.
Right.
Took my shoes off, laptop, boom, boom. But I got a
adamantium
warning or something.
Okay.
Right in my nuts, right in the nut sack. I don't know. I think my dick was heavy.
You need a release, sir.
And so this dude, he says to me, look at the screen, and showed me that there was a red thing. I guess he wanted me to make sure that he just wasn't going to be feeling my nuts.
Right.
For no reason, because I was handsome. So, so he gives me on the back of my hand, but I'm going to use the back of my hand when I'm going to do it. Da, 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 da. Right,
and as if a knuckles graze is less invasive.
Well, let me tell you what he did. He literally squeegeed my crotch. Right, then he goes in the crotch. He goes up to does the curve. Then all of a sudden he's got my balls jacking me off. Right, jacking me off. And I'm like, I don't think this is right. He goes, no, sir. It's
and then you sound like Lexington Steel. So from leaving your house to get into the hotel, how long would you say, like, say just using 12 noon, you left your house, what time would you say you got to the hotel on Saturday?
Well, it was a little longer because they didn't have clear going. We were talking about that. They didn't have the pre-check going.
Right, but see?
But half hour.
No, it took, no, I'm saying from, so, say you left your house at noon on Saturday, just using as a round number.
Okay.
What time would you say you checked into the hotel in D.C. if you left exactly at noon?
So the flight was 48 minutes?
Right.
Mm-hmm. 36 minutes.
Okay.
The flight was 36 minutes.
Oh, that was actually faster than I remember.
I did the park and fly. So I drove in. Took me 25 minutes to get there to the park and fly to stay. Took my cars, dropped me over, because it's literally across the street from LaGuardia. Okay.
Right.
Dropped me, maybe another half hour getting through security.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I didn't get squeegeed on the way, but it was still, I didn't have the clear check.
Right.
Maybe.
So you had to get checked on the way out of the plane.
Right. Yeah.
If they're doing a security check after you leave the plane, it's a little bit fucked up. Then shout I think you got
to,
a lawsuit.
Shout out to Eric Andre. So
you're all chilling at the gate by one.
Yes.
With that math, you're there by
in
one. What time's the flight leave?
Like 1:36 minutes.
So it leaves at 2. So flight lands 2:36.
Yeah.
You get to the hotel 3:30.
I probably got there in 2 hours. Okay. With everything.
So you were in the hotel by 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
And you left your house at 12. That's okay. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that.
And I didn't, what did I do? I went to fucking Chick-fil-A.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I went to Chick-fil-A. I had some fries.
Okay.
I went in, set up, boom, 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 boom. I watched a third of Nope.
Yeah.
On the movie.
Yeah, right, right. Because it's such a short
third
flight.
Of a movie.
Yeah.
And I was in the hotel, checked in.
Okay.
And then Lamont picked me up.
Okay.
So he was there picking
me
up.
Was he punctual?
Okay. I mean, he was like 10 minutes late, but I mean, I could have, if I had taken an Uber, boom, I'd have been there probably. I'd have been there in an hour and a half.
Okay.
And then I was chilling. I didn't have to drive. My back wasn't killing me. I wasn't drained.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, 4 hours.
Well, look, hold up. Now, Harry, Pete.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Now this morning, we were both pretty much checking out at the same time, right?
Right.
Both checking out at the same time. And I stopped. My mom's came to the gig, so I had to stop in Maryland. But I said, now he has clear going back.
But I got squeegee, son.
But he got squeegee, but his flight still was leaving at the same time regardless, right? I got home 30 minutes earlier than you.
Time's your flight? What time did you leave?
We left, I don't even remember, dude. I just remember we saw you. I don't remember exactly what time.
Well, let me see. No, I was here. I got here right at 3 because I thought at 3 it was 2:58 because I thought we were supposed to do this podcast at 3. Mm-hmm. So I was, and then I was like, oh, it's not till 4. So.
So you got there 3. I got home 3:18 and that was with a stop in Maryland. So that's what I'm saying. That's why
you drove though.
And we drove. So that's what I'm saying. Even though you flew in and it was quicker, you still the cumulative time of you going, it was, so that's why for me I just prefer, I don't, if I can drive, I rather drive, unless if it's a short distance and I fly, it's because I want my air miles,
right? That's the other thing, I'm gathering air miles and so
man, I wish I had a story to add to this riveting conversation about airline travel, guys. I wish I had some road stories to add to this, guys. But
you don't want me to finish the squeegee. So squeegee in my balls. Let me pick it up.
I think that was the peak.
My back starts hurting. This nice little young lady. She goes, "Do you need a chair?" That's how I was sweating because I was back.
Oh, man.
She went, got me a chair. I said, I got a. Comments and I wrote her up and gave her, she was then slipped her with a 20, walked me to the gate, bong, bong. I was on.
That's a man that knows how to do it. You always got to tip the people that look out. Gotta make sure. You
and I did a write up for her. So
the write ups important.
And I tipped the squeegee dude.
Oh,
no, I was like, tip him.
I was like,
he got his tip. He got his. I think reward.
He was thorough enough that he got all he wanted.
Yeah,
he doesn't even work at the airport. He's a volunteer.
I was wondering why I never seen a purple vest before.
Yeah, yeah.
But he fucking squeegeed me like crazy, back and front. Crotch. He was like, "You want to go someplace?" I was like, "Nah, let's just do it right here, son. Let's get it."
He's trying to find out. He's trying to take you for a drink.
Yeah. I'm like, "Nah, son, I'm good. I'm gonna
go someplace a little more intimate."
He put a flask. Gave me his flask. I was like, "I'm good, dog. You're wild." So, I got a chance to talk to your wife. This is the first time I really got a chance to talk to your wife.
Oh, I didn't know that. I never knew that.
Yeah, I mean, we've hired and blah, blah, blah. But the first time we really, really good vibe. And Dean's been married for how many years now, Dean?
Together 27, married 19.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to ask you this. What do you think some of the things that you've learned through time that you feel as though that you didn't know when you were younger that you know now? Or how you would handle things differently, or?
You know what? I think I actually joke about it and did the joke on stage last night. I said, the thing you learn is it is not that serious.
Right.
Yeah. It's not that serious. And, it's wasted. And it, like, arguing is kind of wasted energy. Because when it's all said and done, y'all still love each other.
We're gonna be together.
So, why even waste that? And oftentimes it would be about something minute
right.
that either, you eventually kind of fades off. And when you
do you think it's because you hear this a lot where that people are married couples are arguing, mm-hmm. but the argument is about something else. And it becomes about.
Yeah, I think ego winds up getting involved. I read this book, Ego is the Enemy, by his name is Ryan Holiday. Mm. And after reading that book, you're like, oh, wow, everything, you insert your ego into everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And make decisions based on your ego. And sometimes, you're putting what you want to do ahead of everybody else, and you're like, even something as simple as like, here you go in the bathroom to brush your teeth first and I'll go in afterwards, right? And that I'm sure there are couples that would argue over something like that, and then you're like, all right, well, just go, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'll still brush my teeth if I do brush them at all.
right.
So why waste that energy?
Yeah, I think you have to kind of understand what's important and what's not important. And so ego, I always used to say ego is saying, don't you know who the fuck I am?
Oh, like that's exactly what.
And I always remember when I was bouncing and the Force M, one of the dudes, it was the Force MDs. Uh-huh. The Force MDs?
Of course. What's his name? Bowlegged Lou. No, I'm thinking. Full Force. Both with
Full
F.
Force. No. Force MDs was the Staten sweaters.
Island. Yeah. Remember?
So the one that got strung out on drugs and then he got clean.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I'm bouncing out of the spot. And he comes up, you don't know who I am? And I was like,
No.
Right. And so it's kind of a thing where, if I knew who you were, I probably wouldn't be, what I'm saying? Nobody's directly trying to besmirch your character.
Right.
I'm trying to make this, trying to make this $150 and right. I'm trying to make sure nobody gets killed. And this is just really not about you.
Right.
But I think what happens is that even with that,
mm-hmm.
it's a thing where people want to be, but I take it one step further and I say, you can't let emotion have a seat at the table at any time when it comes to anything. Anytime you're allowing emotion into
mm-hmm.
the context of what you're doing, because you don't see it clearly, because it's you're tainted by
That's why I'm not a fan of the, we were just joking on the drive back home, listen to somebody on the radio, and they said within the span of a couple of minutes, they said, I just feel like, I can't stand that phrasing, because nobody cares about your emotions and how you feel.
Right.
If it's a belief, then you're standing in your beliefs. But if you just, and you hear a lot of people using that vernacular.
This is something you don't even really care about. You got a notion.
Right.
And why am I respecting this?
It's not necessarily, at least it's not grounded in any facts.
It's not grounded. It's not grounded. It's pure. Yeah. That's pure emotion. Versus actually speaking something factual, something that you have evidence that can stand behind it. Someone, the dude from the Force MDs, saying, "Hey man, don't you know who I am?" In his mind, he's like, he could very well say the same. You know, I just feel like you're trying to disrespect me because I've had this success, and also like,
and who are you? You the bouncer?
Yeah, right. And that, because that's what, and that again, that goes back to ego.
I could say, well, I don't give a fuck. Like, why are you treating me just because you had success?
Exactly.
Why does that give you the right to be disrespectful?
Exactly. And that's the problem with ego. When you, in my opinion, when you step back and look at it, it's purely your individual opinion versus the general consensus. Because there would have been, I'm sure there were other people in that line. Say five people did say, "Oh yeah, he did that song with Ghostface," right?
Right.
Or they had Tender Love on the Crush Groove soundtrack, right? But there were probably even more people that did without his four brothers or cousins, and
yeah,
them
yeah,
all
with
dancing,
all of them, they wouldn't even remember
them all together.
They yeah, wasn't in them the white sweaters.
In the white, from the video. In the white, sweater vest, right?
He was the O, because they had so Harry. Yeah, they was each had a MDs. It was white sweaters, and each one had a different letter spelling out Force MDs.
F-O-R-C.
Hold on, what is this? Force MDs?
The Force. Yeah, they were the Force MCs first. They look up the group.
Tender love. Be so
okay, now this is beyond, and I go pretty deep old school. This is beyond my. Baby, oh, they are wearing the sweaters. Surrender. Oh my god,
the sweater picture came up.
I see. Well, the one I have is just all. They all have F on it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They all have the F. They'd wear the
and
jacket.
And was dope.
So their gimmick apparently was wearing the thing, because at one point when they're younger, they just have the sweaters, and then like later on. They have leather jackets and it's a shiny F. So it's we're all grown now.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the end. You gotta
that's sad.
You know.
That's sad.
You gotta
also,
as soon as you do a shiny F.
Yeah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
It's all over.
That's, oh my God, they look like a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Well, that was their thing. That was it. It was like it was when hip hop was still in its infancy. They were like a hip hop doo-wop,
which would have been fine for the time, but did not age well.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Did he eventually Dante? Did he eventually? Did you let him in? Did he ever get in?
No, because he wild out, and I was like, and then it got to be, are you out your mom? Like, who the fuck
right,
are you talking
right,
to? Now
right.
I'm giving you the business on purpose.
Right.
Know?
Did you, me ask you this, as a bouncer, did you at times, had you recognized him, and if had he not come to you, you know,
absolutely
arrogantly, what is that, or I guess my question is there a general courtesy to people have some level of celebrity where they come to the front of the line, and even if you're not necessarily super familiar, and if you see them, you're like, oh, hey, my man. You
I
know
would
what
do
mean?
That. I would absolutely do that.
Yeah,
I mean, because on the level of the owner of the club, they want famous people in the club.
Right.
It's
okay.
Much better for the club.
Right.
Know?
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
But it don't make me no different. I mean, you understand it, but it's just. Somebody who gives you that kind of smoke on the front end,
yeah,
chances are he's going to be a problem on the back end.
Right. Because he gets inside, he's like, and it's going to keep,
turn up.
You don't know who I am, and somebody, he's like, this is my VIP section, which I never
gonna
understood.
Be a problem. The VIP section. I'm going to end up throwing him over the garbage.
Right.
Just throw a dude over the garbage bags.
And then you got to tell. Then the problem is you can't even explain that it was somebody famous. You got to explain, like, you know those guys that used to wear the name on the sweater?
The worst thing
is... I think so.
You can't
even
buy
them over a trash can.
You can't even buy those sweaters. Once you get a stain, You can't buy those sweaters no more. It's not
you, right. Now, that you have to have like, you know, moms probably, somebody's moms was the
scene. Somebody knitted those.
They had to go buy five Fs. The five matching sweaters in all the different sizes.
Yeah. Here's a funny thing too. So, you know, everything has been crystallized on the show. You know, how to, you know, when I get guys who have a problem with women or have a problem and don't have the confidence, one of the things that we talk about is laying the five bricks, mm-hmm. right? And it means go out and give five women a compliment every day. Literally, mm-hmm. like we would handle an open mic. It's like right. not sexual, mm-hmm. has to be true, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't have to be just a type a woman that you want to sleep with.
Right.
It can be an old lady, it can be a young lady, could be whatever.
Co-worker,
right?
Someone
now, conversely, office. As many guys that listen to the show, mm-hmm. as many guys as have ever asked me for my help, many guys have said, oh, you changed my life. This whole thing has changed my life. I don't know, maybe two guys that actually did what I told them to do.
Really?
They do a portion of it, but they do some freestyle version of what I tell them to do.
They want the shortcut.
Including Harry.
Oh, really, Harry? Did you?
For a while.
Now why didn't you adhere to just
stick because it's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. So you try to do your best because you're afraid of failing. Eventually, I did the right thing. I learned all
now,
the
but here's the thing, like, though, Harry. It's not uncomfortable. Like, if you had to do five bricks today, how long would it take you to hit the streets and do five bricks? How long you think
it wouldn't take me very long now? Not at all.
Like, what do you think?
I could bang it out. I mean, I just go out on the busy street right. I have here and bang it out in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
15, 20 minutes.
Done in 15, 20 right. minutes. Yeah.
So
sound like name that tune. I can do that in 5 minutes.
but what guys don't understand is because you're talking about the emotion of it, the ego.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not, you know, ego is an emotion, but so is so is fear. So is all of these things are emotions. Yeah. And so often we are ruled by these emotions. And so the apprehension, the anxiety of what is the worst case, what's going to happen if I,
right.
And now we're not talking about, and I mean, here's a greatest thing about this. I don't even have to really explain it to Dean because Dean is not an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm most offensive, yeah, there goes Dean will give me the smile. He'll flash the pearly white.
That's the yin and the yang, right?
I'm the gang gang. Gang 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 gang. So but it's what happens is the fact that you don't when you do it, when you actually go through it, there's three elements that it takes care of. Number one, it removes anxiety and fear, which is removes the emotion. Number two, it also it removes all emotion because it becomes so you become so embedded in it that what happens is all of the emotion removes. It's kind of like so Harry's been working his butt off in the gym for mm-hmm. what 2 years now, Harry?
Yeah, man. Yeah, about 2 years.
2 years. So, but sometimes you get a better workout than others, but the sure. point is you, right. you show up.
Right, right.
And when you, yeah. when you really start, even when you don't have a great whatever, but you just show up, mm-hmm. right? What happens is like, okay, what am I doing today? I'm doing this. This is the plan, da, 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 right? So it removes the fear and the anxiety of rejection. It also removes it because there's no intention but to get through the workout because you start to understand that this none of these workouts matter but all of them matter, you know,
exactly
which is a sobering state of affairs to understand that none of this work in retrospect this if I just do this workout it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It only means something in
the collusion
with everything.
Yeah.
So there's that need to be to for it to go perfect stops. You stop
right.
worrying about that. So you don't have that anxiety. The second thing is when you do it frequently enough, you start to realize. So Hav, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you, I don't know if you can even go back this far. What was the worst case scenario that you thought would happen?
With talking to women or just
no, just doing laying the five bricks.
Well, again, you got to remember, we didn't have the five bricks when I started. It wasn't officially a thing. So
what was it? You remember what?
I don't remember the details of what it was, but I was hard-headed about it. I was just hard-headed about it. I don't remember the exact details of what the specific instructions were because you still were figuring it out.
Yeah, it's so precise and crystallized now.
Yeah, it was just being willing to take the loss and also, just willing to take the loss and willing to say no, you know, or willing to just shoot your shot. And I just didn't want to reject. It was hard. I felt like at a low point, and I hated rejection, which is so strange because now it doesn't mean anything to me, the rejection, because the focus is in a different place. So now the focus is when I get rejected by somebody, to me, they're the idiot. I know what I bring to the table, whether it's relationships or business or whatever, or when I don't get a job, if I'm doing job interviews or trying to get a project going. When people say no, now I'm like, in my heart and my head, I know they're the idiot. So it doesn't affect me. But at the time I felt maybe enough wins under my belt. The things weren't going well, financially, emotionally. There's a lot of things going wrong that just taking another loss in my head was stinging. And I just didn't want to take another loss. It felt embarrassing. It felt shitty. You're like, ah, geez, I'm a shitty person.
And
I'm
you know
not
what?
Good enough.
You know what I think, Harry? I think most guys, as you become more mature in, which is why it becomes easier as you get older, right? You learn to realize that rejection is a part of life and it's not as daunting as we think it is when we're younger. You know, back in the days, walking across, like, you know, you walk in a club, you do a lap or two. You know, like, all right, I saw
speak one out.
Right. And going just to walk across the club to ask some stranger. I don't think, you know, women realize how daunting that could be for a man to say, okay, I have to go invade this stranger's space and see if they want to dance, see if they let their guard down enough just to interact with me. And
also don't think you're worthy,
and part of you doesn't. I ain't gonna front, I always thought I was worthy. I've always had a high,
but I mean, you don't know if
they think that we're worthy. Yeah,
which is still an insecurity, because if you really know you're worthy, you walk up there with the intention I'm worthy, like, why would you not?
Like,
I mean, it's ridiculous. What do you mean? No. Well,
and that's what eventually happened. I remember I stopped, like, I got sick. I was like, I remember saying to myself, this is years ago. I remember saying, yo, I'm dope. Why am I going out of my way? And I started just going to the club and I would go and dance solo. And eventually, because you see, I was just enjoying myself. And then people want to be around somebody that has that freedom to say, I don't need nobody to have fun. That's why I always dig when I see people go to clubs, the comedy club specifically, and more, it's less creepy when it's a woman alone. When it's a dude alone, you know, you're like,
he looks like a weirdo. That dude is, but he likes rap music. He seems to know all the lyrics too.
But I think, over time, the more you face rejection, the more you realize, I survived that. This doesn't matter.
Right.
This is not a big deal to me. And so,
even for me, my thing was like, oh my, like, what happens after I get rejected? Like, for me, it was like, oh my God, what do I do now? And what you realize is, So I wanted to, you know, when you're talking about emotion and ego, it's you remove through the repetition, you remove the emotion.
Exactly.
So yes. Now there's a few elements that come into play, because everything is everything else. Meaning, mm-hmm. we go as a comic, you get on stage and you start doing open mics. Mm-hmm. And open mics are usually horrible because everybody's worried about their own shit and everybody's mm-hmm. whatever the fuck they think on whatever level, whatever. But the point is, you go up and you do open mics, and even if you are funny, a lot of times people are jealous, so they won't even laugh at you. You know, right. they'll act like it's not, you know, like you're not funny. They're not even paying attention sometimes.
Right.
And so open mics are always good because when you get in there, you do a real show, mm-hmm. you're like, oh wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is what laughter feels like. You know, right. This is what acceptance feels like. So this, you know, because one of the guys on the Patreon was asking this question. We'll get into mm-hmm. the other thing. There's three things that happen when you lay the five bricks. Mm-hmm. Number one, it becomes exposure therapy, where you become numb to it, where it stops becoming about what the outcome is. Because, which is interesting, because I always say, the outcome doesn't matter. Like, so I break it down into small parts. It's like I take you through phases to strengthen you. You know, like I never was a dude who played Madden, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you play Madden or no?
I don't. No. I'm a God of War, Jedi, you know,
right.
game.
But just like anybody, especially let's say Madden or again, if you haven't played Madden for 5 years, mm-hmm. unless you got to a level of proficiency that you can't play the game anymore. You know
right,
what I mean? Like
right.
there's so many layers to it. Mm-hmm. There's so many subtleties yeah. to yeah. it that you get left behind. And, yeah. and what happens is you can't even catch up. So I know guys who played Madden and then they stopped playing Madden. They don't play video games when they mm-hmm. hanging, you know, they hooking up with these young kids and playing with these young dudes and
hey, they can't hang.
Yeah. And there's so much more to because there's so much levels of, you know, it just keeps getting more and more complicated. So what I always do is I take it and I break it down into small increments, small mm-hmm. digestible increments. So all I was asking dudes to do is go out, pay five compliments a day. Mm-hmm. It can be somebody that you find attractive. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to. It should include that, but it should not be exclusively that. Yeah.
Right.
And what that does is through the repetition, now the fear of the approach, once you get accustomed to the, because first of all, there's no rejection. I mean, I've done this to hundreds of guys. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they say is, wow, it really wasn't really bad at all. I mean, a lot of girls smiled and some, you know, mm-hmm. and then they'll go, one girl didn't say anything to me. I said, but based on your worst case scenario of what you thought was going to happen, did mm-hmm. any of that happen? And they yeah. always go, no, not at all. Like, right. like they're in their head, there's this fear of who the fuck are you talking to me? Or they, you know, the whole right. thing is with yeah. the Me Too pro thing. Right. How do you talk to women? I get this question. How do you handle this? Me, right. I go, you're just saying, I like your hair.
Right.
That dress looks really good with the skin, with your skin tone. Mm-hmm. And so on that first level, you just, and I'm not saying you got to get the number. I'm mm-hmm. not saying you got to get laid. I'm just saying drop the compliment. So the first thing that happens, it gets over the fear, right? Mm-hmm. Second thing it does is it has to be, the compliment has to be truthful, mm-hmm. right? Because what we're practicing is truthfulness.
Right.
One of the things that's most attractive, the most attractive thing to women ever is your truthfulness.
Yeah.
Even when they don't like the truthfulness. I mean, you know, we talk about every once in a while, Kevin Samuels, rest his soul.
Our Lord and Savior, Kevin Samuels. No name above that name.
Here's a dude who they knew how he was going to respond. If you're 40 right. years old, and you 190 pounds, mm-hmm. you know what his response is going to be. But they would call up anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
I know.
To get yelled at.
Right. ma'am, what do you look like? How much do you weigh? How old are you? Yeah.
and you rate yourself as other. He wouldn't even rate them.
Right.
Just once in a while, the chick.
Right. I will say the most brilliant thing he ever did was say that you can't say seven.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the sweet spot.
Everything. Yeah. It fucked up the whole game.
Yeah, if you go six, it's like, oh, you ugly.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And if you go eight, you like you fine. Like,
well, and if you go eight, but you know you really are five, he gonna hit you with the.
Yeah. Well, then he used to go. Kelly Rowland is a nine.
Mm-hmm.
Goes. I would say Beyonce is an eight. That's what he would say. Beyonce's an eight. Kelly Rowland's a nine.
I'm not mad at that.
And he goes, and you're an eight. yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So it's like you.
There was a level of egotism of calling up to a guy who you just watched 57 videos of him yelling at women for being fat and ugly.
Right.
And knowing that he's going to ask you, it's not like these are questions that came up randomly. And a woman would still call up and he'd go, how tall are you? Like 4'8". How big are you? 217 pounds.
Yeah.
And you still called up? It's craziness.
Well, you know, but again, that goes to ego because that's, especially
I'm
going to
get him this time. It's going to be
now because we all have this, right? Now that we all have this, everyone feels.
Mm-hmm.
That
there you go. There's that word again, Dean.
Yeah.
Everyone feels their opinion should be heard, but the reality is, if you call, once you've called up and you've submitted to being part of this show, it's sort of like when you go to a TV show taping before you walk into
your
audience, there's a big sign that says, if you walk into this studio, you agree that your name, face, likeness is now for this the sole purposes of this television program. You're allowing us to utilize your image for whatever reason. So someone volunteering to call up this video and they've watched him do what he does countless times. Someone saying, you know what, I'm gonna be the one. You know what he needs to hear,
and he needs to hear what I got to say.
And he's heard it all. He's heard it all. But you're like, no, you know what? I feel like what I say. And here's also what happens. You all know, like I know, like when people get on Wheel of Fortune and they say it's so much easier on TV. Right?
Yeah.
Once you go live, once the red light is on, you go live. You know the physiology of your body's. Now your throat's a little drier.
Now
you're like he's hitting you with a question you didn't expect. So you're like, wait, but I wanted to say this.
He's done it so much, which he has the exposure therapy.
Yeah.
So exactly. You just another caller. Well, I don't get my way. Well, you get your big ass off of my.
right.
But it creates it removes the emotion. Mm-hmm. So whatever charmingness or whatever appeal or whatever makes you interesting in the first place, once you remove that fear, because the minute fear becomes a factor, emotion becomes a factor, especially fear. You can cut your charismatic ability down to a third.
Yeah.
It's like being on stage. You know,
thinking that. I was like, you can apply that to anything.
Yeah. Every time you get on, if you're going for an audition and it's important and you're afraid, what you're doing is you're practicing that set. Or if you're doing a late night set or something, you're practicing it so much so it's almost autopilot.
Yeah.
So that even if you fuck up, it doesn't matter. Your body goes on automatic.
Right.
That's what it does. Dean, let's you want to plug anything? We're going to do the Patreon behind the scenes and
You know what? Y'all can this. I don't know. Is how soon is this dropping,
Harry?
Either this week or next week. So what do you got to plug? Oh wait, okay. When is the play coming up? The
play is this week. So if it drops,
yeah, I'm gonna drop it tomorrow. I'll drop it tomorrow.
Okay, boom. Okay, so this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm one of the co-stars and one of the producers of Race, the movie, the play, the reading. It's a play that I did with my man Brett Raybould and Christian.
But fan of the show, he's actually done the show.
Okay, yeah. And so we did this. We actually did. Harry actually came and saw the show.
Yeah, I want to come this.
It was phenomenal. Okay. I really enjoyed it.
We're part of the New York Comedy Festival. get your tickets because we sold out all our shows last time. We're at Stand Up New York this Thursday and Friday. I believe that's the 10th and 11th at 7 p.m. And then we're doing a matinee reading of the show on Saturday afternoon, I believe at 1 or 2.
Are you doing the full show Thursday?
We're doing the read at Stand Up New York because obviously they don't have a big thing for us to put our wardrobe on, but we're doing a read. We did the read at the Village Underground a couple of months ago, and surprisingly, not surprisingly, the show is so dope that everything landed, and it's a spoof. The play is a spoof of all of those Hollywood race bait Oscar award nominees,
Super movies, woke.
Everything from Green Book to Driving Miss Daisy to La La. You know, we goof on all of those tropes of the white savior, and so but we use Green Book as our main foundation. We even throw in some references to the MCU, the Marvel Comics universe, man. Right. It's a funny show.
It's really
so you're not
good.
You're not doing anything full blown. You're not doing wardrobe.
We're not doing the full wardrobe.
Okay,
but
so just to read. All right, I'm gonna come. I'll come.
Yeah,
Thursday.
Come through because I guarantee you it's y'all going to enjoy it. And it's honestly because you know my wife's a professor of lit, and I was more excited after she was like. It's so funny, but it's so smart. Like it's really, I'm very impressed
really
with what they
exceptional.
Create. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was exceptional.
And it will be a movie. I guarantee. Look, I'm putting it out there now, manifested in Denzel's voice. I guarantee you're gonna laugh, and it will be a successful movie one day.
I told Ray that too. I said this is the concept itself.
Yeah, man.
It's going to get made. It's going to get made.
And I think we have a special guest is playing one of the roles on Thursday or Friday. That everyone will be excited to see as part of the show. So yeah.
All right. Check
out They Ready on They Ready season 2 episode
on Netflix.
On Netflix right now.
Yeah. Check out Dean, my man, funny dude, yo. Harry Talk.
You can get all my stuff on social media at Harry Turjanian. And also, if you want a consultation, hit me up via email, advicefromharry@gmail.com. And we can set up a time and go over rates and help fix your life, fix your relationships. Anything you need help with, I'm here for you.
You know, DanteNero.com, click on consult. Everything else, Google me, bitch. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted. Yo, I love y'all. Check us out on the Patreon side if you want to help us. Also, support us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/manschool202. Support us so we can keep doing this.